Dude, we're on.
We are on. We're back. The
We're
Ace and
back.
Hammer show. We're back for vengeance.
Dude, so this is, I called Matt yesterday and I said, why'd you quit? I didn't even say hi. Why'd you quit?
You didn't. You're just like, why'd you quit the podcast? I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble.
why'd you quit your podcast? And I said, well, I quit mine too because I don't have time to do it. And I was like, dude, you know what we should do? We should just reboot it and talk about the week. So I'm trying to find my account. I used to have an Anchor account, and I couldn't find it. So I go to anchor.com.fm, and it takes me to this new platform that I apparently have a username and a password for. So if you don't know who we are, you can go to our podcast channel. And you can go to iamwithoutlimits.com, go to podcast. And what episode is it, Matt? Let's see. We did 25 episodes before.
I did like 12 on my own podcast. And yeah, it was, you know, our format was a bit different. We had a couple other co-hosts, Alex Ball, and we would kind of like interview ultra and trail runners in our area for whatever reason. You guys were obviously more on the coaching side of things. But yeah, it just kind of fizzled out, and I don't know why, because I feel like I'm constantly listening to podcasts. This is going to be a thing, and I think people definitely going to want to engage with, you know, from a running standpoint, a coaching standpoint, a race directing, like going to these big events. Yeah, I'm on board. Let's give the people what they want.
Go to episode 12, Ultra Marathon Q&A with 25 ultra athletes with Matt Hammersmith and Tom Clifford. That was the very first podcast we did together. So if you go to episode 12, you can learn more about us. That we're a bunch of Eastern Michigan weirdos, and we both went to Eastern, and now we just, Matt coaches, I coach, and Matt puts on races, and I put on races. So starting with that, you have the Country Mile this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
Where is that?
So it's in the Greenville upstate area near the foothills. It's north of Greenville, about 20 minutes on a farm. It's kind of an old family farm called the Beechwood Farms. And it's kind of, it's not really turned more into a tourist attraction, but it's definitely, it's a lease owned farm, and they've got a bunch of acreage out there. They grow, you know, tomatoes and peppers and sunflowers and everything else in between. So we're going to be out there for 48 hours this weekend, 350 runners. Trying to tackle 100 miles. Last year we had 350 runners and 96 people finished 100 miles. And conditions are always horrible. But this weekend it's supposed to be high of 65, low of 40. I think we're giving out 350 belt buckles this year.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Well, I started the year out with Southern Tour, which you're aware of.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think the year that you first came to Southern Tour, you drank like 9 beers the night before.
I was on a relay team, but I wanted to run first so I could drink more beer because I didn't want to run last and then have to wait all day. I was like, my only stipulation is I have to run first.
Yeah. So that was that year. I think we had about 450, 500 people. Well, we sold out this year. We had 900. And the reason we sold out so quick this year is we had so many individual athletes. So we have the last man standing 50 mile and 50K. And we had a record number of individual athletes.
Yeah.
So the pain in the ass about that race is parking. So I'm trying to get external parking next year. It's just a big pain in the ass.
We're in the same boat with ours, like, and I just sent out an email today about, like, hey, you purchased a day-use parking pass, you purchased an RV parking pass, and we only have limited numbers of each. And I got so many emails like, hey, can I upgrade, can I get an RV spot? And, yeah, you know, green space is hard to come by, but obviously after being to your guys' you know, Southern Tour, you guys put on a great event. Ours is obviously, I think, a little bit different. It is definitely more not the weirder side of the ultra community, but like we're there for the weekend. We're not, I mean, I'm setting foot on ground on Thursday morning. I'm not leaving basically until Sunday at 10 o'clock until I give out the last belt buckle.
So what did we say in our text about what would you rather do? Run a marathon or an ultra marathon or put on one? How fast do you recover?
So yeah, it's funny because like I used to run and obviously like competitively, and you could run a 5K race and be recovered in a day, or even you can run a marathon and be recovered in a day. If you try to
Well,
directly
not
walk,
recovered. You're
well,
not going to
you
recover,
know, but
but you're
like
going to be
yeah, you
okay
feel
by
horrible.
Wednesday.
Yeah, you feel horrible. Like after this weekend, like this is my biggest race of the year. I'm gonna feel horrible. Come Monday, Tuesday, when I'm gonna finally be out of a lethargic, exhausted mode, maybe by Thursday to kind of get back at it. And I'm supposed to be racing a mile next Friday, so I'm kind of training for that. So, yeah, it's just hard on your body. And as you know, you've got your biggest, the marathon, the Riceville Beach Marathon is
Wilmington.
well, the
It's called the
Wilmington now.
Wilmington. Yeah, we
So
rebranded back.
you guys changed that this past year.
No, we changed it in 2020, the year of the pandemic. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, the
Well,
year of the pandemic that year.
you guys hosted that weekend, right?
No, we missed the 2020, and then in 2021 we had it in April. We had Southern Tour and the marathon in 1 week apart.
Yeah.
It
I
was the
remember you telling
busiest
me
week
it
of
was a
my life.
nightmare. Yeah.
But this year we had a record crowd, which is great, 4,500 people, 4,491 to be exact. But 27 days out, we got our permit denied because the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, a major thoroughfare into Wilmington, had to be had emergency re it had to be redone. The decking had to be redone. It was like an emergency project
Yeah.
and a refurbish, and it everybody just freaked out around here. Like a city, nobody knew what to do. It was just chaos all around. So they're like, a
Yeah.
marathon, we can't do a marathon, and so I had to present in front of the DOT. I had to present in front of the city, and dude, everybody was very nice. It was just like, holy shit, it's 27 days out, and I should be in the heart of my marketing right now, but instead I'm trying to save this race.
Yeah.
Most participants, I'm not gonna go and announce that. It's just
Yeah, no, it's like,
it's a hard business, as you
yeah.
know.
Yeah,
And
I think
by
people
the
don't really
way,
understand.
for the
Yeah.
audience, we're gonna talk over each other a lot, and we'll probably get better at this. We're two alpha males. We're gonna get better. We're gonna try to do this weekly, and we're not gonna have any of the hoopla. No music. No bullshit. We're gonna enjoy talking about running, race directing, and our kids, and probably add our athletes in here once in a while about what we're doing at practice and stuff. But like, we want to give you good content. I've been asked the last couple of months, where's your podcast been? Da 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 da. And I'm like, I just don't. I don't want to like edit it and make it. I don't need to sound good. I need to sound fun. And we just want to give you the real us. So,
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
go.
I'm coming up on 10 years in June. You've been doing it in Wilmington for 14.
17.
Oh yeah. So you started coaching and then So
17 years.
what do you like better, coaching or race directing? Because you kind of dabble in both worlds now.
It's a completely different person.
Yeah. You know,
I
you're
mean,
right. You're
not
right.
a different person. It's a
No, it
different
is. Put on
mode,
different hats. You got to put on
Yeah,
different
it's a
hats
different
when you got to be
hat.
an RD.
I enjoy race directing. What's hard about race directing is budgeting, making sure that, because there's a lot of things I want for a race, but I can't afford, when you compare your races or our races to, the
Which
big
we do.
races, we do, we want to be, the big races, but there's certain things you want to make your life easier, but you can't have because you don't have the income for it, and you could spend it, but then it's like, well, gosh, now I'm putting this entire giant production on, and I'm not gonna, I gotta make something off it, So I think that, like, to go back to your question, I love coaching because I love what I get out of it. And I love that we have it down to a pretty good science now. So like when people join, you gotta cater to that person and you have to listen to individual needs. But after 17 years, you really know how I can take any person from any level and say, I know exactly what you need with while tweaking on the way. Race directing, as
You're
you're gonna
appeasing the
deal with,
masses. Yeah.
well, yeah, you're appeasing the masses, but like not only that, but then you have your race itself to put on, but then the external elements are the weather being number one, and then permitting number two, and then all these other things that really don't have
Budgeting.
anything to do with the race.
Yeah.
They're like outside the race, right?
Outside
You
your
deal
control,
with,
yeah.
yeah, well, outside your control, but outside the actual production of the race itself. But indirectly, the race is affected, so
You are
go
trying
ahead.
to be you want to put on like a race where like I want athletes to come and toe the line and run as fast as they can for whatever 5K, 13.1, 26.2. But then you also have to understand that maybe only 10% of the athletes are racing and the other 90% want to be at this event. So you're like, oh, I have to like put on a not a show, but like a, you know, you are trying to. My thing is, I thought about it today, actually. I was like, well, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years now, coaching in race directing. I've been coaching for longer, but race directing for 10 years. And kind of the way my first race I ever put on, which you were at, my goal was, I don't know anybody in Greenville. I've been here for 6 months. What's the best way to know runners? Put on a race. And I had a, you know, 5K, 10K, 25K, 24-hour race,
Dude,
relay race.
that event I went to, and that still was one of the most fun freaking nights that I had. I went over to Greenville and Matt put on this damn knock on wood race, and we stayed up all night, and I actually didn't really know Matt. Like, I didn't really go to school with Matt. He went to Eastern, but
I
he was
came
there after
in when you
me.
left.
So I got to go there and meet Matt, and then RP was down here, so that was hilarious. But
Because
yeah,
he was a freshman when you were a senior. So that was my connection. Because I had heard so many stories. Because RP was my best guy. And he'd be like, dude, you look just like Ace, Ace, Ace. And I'm like, who in the hell is Ace? And then, I mean, I remember the first time I ever met you. I mean, and this is no joke. And it's probably on episode 12 of our old podcast. You just
Maybe.
showed up at Great Lakes Relay. And you're like, yeah, my legs are done. But I'm training for this Ironman down in Wilmington. And you had a wetsuit on and you just jumped into Lake Michigan and you were gone. You were literally just swam away for like an hour and a half.
Hey man, those were the days, right? I'm still training. I'm 40. I'm a master now, bro. You know
Yeah.
what masters get in their Easter basket this weekend?
What's up?
So it's Saturday night, and my wife, she brings out the Easter baskets. By the way, for the next podcast, if I do upload the video, your video sucks.
Why
It's
does my
terrible.
video suck?
It's all blurry.
I'm blurry right now?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
I
Yes,
look
buddy.
really I
Yeah.
look really clean in mine.
You and your running shorts. Well, there you go. Now it's better.
Can you see Jay Baker in the background? All of
Yes.
his artwork. He's got Rocky.
Yeah.
He's got himself. He's got another Rocky, and then I think
You
he's
need
got
it.
Pika.
He's gotta be a guest on this.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So yeah, he's got it. We had because you're in most of the pictures with him, so it's easy to find a picture.
Well,
But back to
apparently
the
we're
Easter
brothers
basket.
in Greenville.
It's Saturday night. It's Holy Saturday. I'm Catholic, so I do the Holy Week. I'm watching, of course, it's Holy Saturday, and I'm watching the what's that? The 2024 Roadhouse at night. You see that on Netflix?
With
It's
Jake Gil,
Ro
is it
Jake
Jake?
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
Yes, Jake
geez.
Gyllenhaal. 2020. So I'm watching this dude. It's actually, I mean, it's okay. I mean, McGregor's not the greatest actor, but so I'm
His
watching this, and
fighting
Annette's
career is
like,
over.
she holds the Grace and Lily Easter baskets up, my daughters, and she's like, are you gonna hide them? And I'm like, yeah, I got it. So finally the movie ends around 10:30. I get up and I see their Easter baskets. And then I see two more Easter baskets on the cupboard, on the kitchen table. And one of them, One of them's got six two-hearted, six two-hearted hazy, so 0.5% up, 7.5%.
Yeah.
A Whole Foods container of almond butter and a Whole Foods container of cashew nuts, and that's it.
And you were the happiest person ever.
That was my Easter best. I didn't even have to find it. I didn't have to run. Have to find it. Nothing. So I had six two-hearteds and almond butter and cashew nuts, which I pretty much snack on daily.
But, for those who don't know, Bell's Two-Hearted is a brewery up in Michigan, and they have a pretty good beer.
It's pretty good. Shout out to Two-Hearted.
Yeah.
You know, we have one now here. It's called Tropical Lightning, and it's something. I don't know what they put in it, but if you have two, you're in trouble. Like we call it, you get struck by lightning, you're in trouble. So.
All right. Well, you've been coaching for 17 years, and you've been directing for probably a little bit less than that. Where are you going to be in 17 more years? Still doing it?
It's a good question. That's why I rebooted the podcast, because a buddy of mine, Kyle Phillips, who's podcast number one, episode number one, if you want to listen to Kyle, he asked me, well, what's your 5-year, 10-year, 15-year plan? He asked me this weekend, and I actually, it just sparked me to be like, I have time for this. I can make this happen. See, you and I talked on a phone the other day about doing this, and we said, let's just do 10 to 15 minute conversations each week. And I'm sure as we move forward, we'll have, you know, 1 week segments to talk about. Well, we've already been going for 17 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it is more or less, I think my long-term goal is to continue to have a positive effect on people, youth athletes especially, distance runners, people who want to be in our sport, in our races, have set goals, but have fun doing it. I think that's just where the best athletes are headed, the ones that are having the fun.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to Goucher's book. I've listened to some of these Meb's book, Dina's book, some of these elite runners. I mean, it's been super serious, but the ones that seem to have the most fun run the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe it's the same in our realm. You and I are kind of in this stage of our lives where we've got young kids. It's hard. Training is kind of put aside, and I mean, I just want to stay in shape. I just don't want to stop, because I know once I stop, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, I took time off. It is hard. It's hard to get started, but thinking about like those long-term goals of like, you know, why are we like, I think about that like randomly, like, why am I still running? Like as a, I'm, you know, 36 years old, I'll be 37 in a few months. It's like, why am I still doing this? I'm not fast anymore. I'm not even competitive
So you can't say that, because there are people out there that look at a guy like you, like you're going to run it. You said you're trying to run a 4:39 mile next week as a,
I'm hoping so. Best case scenario. Yeah. I'm 36.
You're 36.
I understand that, but coming from like where we used to be, I like to coach athletes. You know, you coach a lot of age group athletes. I coach a lot of age group athletes. These guys are hitting their peaks in their mid-30s, 40s, even 50s. Like they're running faster marathon times now at 50 and are 60 pounds lighter when they were 22. Where you and I came from a background where we were running our highest level. Well, actually, you actually continued on and ran pretty successfully in the marathon. But you were running at a very high level in college, and you knew like, like once I hit that 4:10 mile, I was like, I don't think I'm going to get much faster than that at this age.
You're right.
But I still want to enjoy the sport.
You're right. And I think that you don't have to run a 4:10 mile or under, you know, when you're older. I think it's great and all. But I think that's honestly not the popular distance anyway.
No, but it's,
you know, it's hard. No, you have to be in the circuit though.
To
get fast at the mile, you got to be able to have access to getting into track races, you know, and like building up to the mile. And that's the problem today, is that all we have are 5Ks and up, and we don't have like unlimited access to jumping into. Yeah. I mean, dude, when you were in college, you got to do the 400, the 800, the mile, the 4x4. You were like in a track race. You were training for the mile.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think in the next, not maybe the next podcast, but one of these podcasts, let's bring on Josh Esop and talk about his youth program, because I gravitate more toward youth coaching now than anything. And I think it's the one area in, like, because we are pushing the, like, I have so many kids that I coach and their parents are like, oh, I'm going to take them to this 5K. I'm going to take them to this 10K. I'm going to take them to this half marathon. I'm like, why are kids running these crazy distances? It's because track is dead, for theoretically, to youth athletes. When kids should be developing their 200 speed, 400 speed, 800 speed, it's so convenient now for parents to sign their kids up for 5Ks, 10Ks, and heaven forbid, half marathon. Kids, nine-year-old kids.
Yeah. However, if you look at some of these times of these they're kids incredible. Lately, unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on. I'm saying in the general, like, not that they're running them fast. They're just participating in a half marathon distance.
When a
coach, I'm like, you probably should be focusing your kid on running the 800 or something.
No, you're right. And I think a lot of the kids who are running fast today have parents who either ran maybe in college. You see a lot of that, you know, post-collegiate athletes. Those people are now like in their 40s and 50s, and they have kids who are now teenagers who are running fast. It's happening, you know.
I will say it's a different high school sport than
incredible.
I remember, like, I was a junior in high school and I was like a 158, 427 guy. I was good, but I wasn't like, there was a Deshaun Turner and Brock Hagerman were in my graduating class. And as sophomores, we're running 406 in the mile. And I go, holy crap. And now, I mean, it's still fantastic, but now 20 years later, you got kids running 356, you know, like it's unreal what these high school kids are doing.
And like you said, dude, youth, well, we have amazing Aaron Colks, our youth coach, E-Step, Chris in Charleston, Trey, all of our coaches are all hitting youth.
Trey's got some good athletes. He's got that one kid running huge PR
Evan Oasis. Yeah. I mean, so that's why we've kind of started this like PR week, you know, that we've been doing. And I think it's going to, you know, it's something that we just give people shout outs for PRs on social media. That's the way. I'm not a huge social media person, but like, I think I grew up with it. So like, I know the importance of, you know, certain things, but, every coach we have is having a very positive influence on youth. Aaron Colk and, Anne-Marie Pierce here are just, crushing youth and Ryan
Vika over here. Vika's coaching our. I don't. I just got back into coaching.
We have to get Vika on here.
Oh, jeez. Well, if anybody can understand her. So, I remember running PRs, obviously, in middle school, high school, and college. But now that we're older, I think we appreciate a PR more because now we know we're pretty much done getting them. Like, aren't we or no? Are we done getting them?
I'm trying. I'm 40.
Yeah,
I screwed up at Tobacco Road. I ran 111 for a 40-year-old, which is not too bad, but I went out way too fast.
Yeah.
Way too fast.
Yeah, just, so
I mean, hey, you know.
Yeah, I enjoy celebrating the PRs now.
If we're going to have a podcast, we'll end here. If either one of us PRs, the we're going to pump ourselves up on this podcast because you're 36 and I'm 40. So if I can get a PR or you can get a PR, I know I can get a PR in a 50K because I've never run one. Uh-huh. But I know I think I can get a PR in the marathon. I really think I can get a
really?
PR. You can go
so, I think I can get a PR in the 50. My first 50K ever, I ran 3:21 in the snow in Cleveland, Ohio. My first one ever. And so I thought that was pretty solid, but I think I might be able to get one in the half marathon more so because my half marathon PR is like 1:10:50.
Cleveland, Ohio, Jesus.
Yeah, it was in Ohio. March. It was miserable.
Always remember, Michigan's always on top of Ohio. Don't forget that.
All right, are we gonna do this again next week?
All right, people. Here's the deal. You can email us your questions for Matt and I, you can, if you see Matt in Greenville and you're an audience member and you want to like say, dude, you need to do this on your podcast, give us ideas. You know, you're going to find out that we'll pretty much talk about anything. Even who would win a marathon, Donald Trump or Joe
Well, I gave you my answer. I would say
Biden? Right. We'll leave with that. Who would win the marathon
Joe
if
would be
they
in the
had
medic tent. Joe would be in the
a
medic tent
race?
by 10K, and Biden would just stop it, and Trump would stop at 20 and say, "The hell with
Trump would have bets or something. He'd have
it."
to find a way to make money on it. But all
All
right,
right, the
folks.
next
So
race.
we're
Either I'm racing a
week.
mile. Where's your next
Yep.
race?
I think I'm either gonna do the Tar Heel 10, the Elm Street 10, and then I'm doing the Bayshore Marathon. That's kind of my PR.
Oh,
The
up in
Bay and up in
Michigan.
Michigan, yeah, Traverse City.
What? When is that one?
May 25th.
Okay. All right. Gonna get to
So.
go home for the holidays for a little bit.
Well,
I'll
that, yep.
actually, believe it or not, I'll be up in Michigan as well. My brother's getting married in Memorial Day weekend.
Dude, you gotta come to Traverse City
Okay,
if you're
am I the,
we'll talk about it.
I'm gonna be in my brother's wedding, or I'm gonna go run a marathon with you.
Oh, well, I don't know. You be in the brother's wedding, but like maybe like the next day, you know, or something.
Okay.
We'll figure it
All
out. But hey,
right.
man, you know, it is what it is. We're gonna do this weekly. Matt, you all heard it right now.
I'm doing it weekly. As
Weekly. We're
long
gonna be
as
a
long
weekly podcast, and we're gonna talk about running, maybe a little bit of multi-sport, probably mainly running, and we're going to talk about workouts and our favorite workouts and anything you guys tell us, because I think our expansive funness outweighs some of the running podcasts out there, just saying.
Yeah,
So
I did 4x400 today. I'm getting ready for that mile next weekend. Everybody, wish me luck.
I did 5x800. Good luck, Matt.
All right, man. Good
What'd
luck.
you do your four what'd you do your 4x400 in?
68, 66, 66, 65.
Okay.
200, 400 meter jogging rest, and that. Yeah, that was it. I was supposed
I
to do
did.
six of them, but I got this weird thing going on with my shin, so I'm just trying to.
It's
When you're
called
older, any kind of niggle,
old man
you're
syndrome.
leery.
Yeah.
Yeah, old man syndrome.
I did 5'8", 222, 222, 222, 223, 222.
So
All with
you
400 meter rest.
400 meter jog. So you are definitely ready to run 440 for the mile, if not run. You got to be running. What's your 5K time right now, you think?
I haven't run. I've only run one after long mileage, so I gotta do it. I gotta do
Oh.
one. I think I can dabble with 15 flat if I
Really?
had a good day. Yeah.
Golly. I'm like, I think I'm like, I can run a 5K right now in 1620. I'm still trying to get my mileage back. I've only been really been training for 6 months. I took a,
But
I took you,
that
you know the podcast will find. I took 2 years off of running and coaching. I mean,
the
I'm kind of just
podcast
getting
is
back
gonna
into
keep
it.
us both accountable. So
All right, I
just
like it.
you
Okay,
got
all
it. So
right.
our next recording, this is gonna go up Wednesday, and then we're gonna record next week, and then we're gonna start putting it up on every either Wednesday or Monday, something like
Okay,
that.
we'll figure it
But
out.
we'll just leave it low key. All right, buddy.
All right, see you
Adios.
guys.
See
Enjoy
y'all.
it.